You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2017, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Those of you who are tuning in hoping to hear from Matthew Heidmark, we are hoping to have him back on the programme on Friday. He's got a few problems with internet connection at the moment, but we are hoping to be able to give him a call and patch him in through his phone on Friday so he can let you all know what he's been up to. But in the meantime, we do have guests for the rest of the week, and I'm very pleased to welcome Doc Savage from Mysterium Fasces today to the show. Doc, how are you doing today?
Hello, sir. I'm doing great. Wonderful day. Very glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation, sir.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. And you sent me a couple of interesting links last night as well to a couple of interesting stories with Jeff Sessions punishing the sanctuary cities, a masculinity confessions booth. But then just before we went on air, you told me about a piece of really good news. Do you want to let the listeners know about this story?
So this is breaking news from this morning. Three burglars attacked a house in, I believe, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the owner's adult son shot and killed all three intruders. The only survivor was a getaway driver who turned herself into police. And the only clue to the identity of the home invaders is the name of the suspected getaway driver, Elizabeth Rodriguez. So I think that explains why the writers are reluctant to give any details about the three quote-unquote teens.
Well, if it was teens, you can lay a safe bet that they were non-white. But that's a hat trick there. Managing to get all three, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's really good going. They really haven't got much sense, have they? Breaking into a house with the risk that the owner or the son might be armed, and yet still they'll try and break in. This was an actual home invasion, was it? It wasn't a burglary. Is there any other information on it? What they were after at the house itself?
What I'm reading in these stories is that they were actually trying to break down the door while the home was occupied. I mean, that's very brazen, especially for Oklahoma. I can only imagine there's drugs and or alcohol involved.
Probably.
Apparently, the adult son tried to warn them away, and when they refused to cease and desist, he opened fire.
Good man. Well, that's three down, only a few more billion to go, I guess. You say that was in Oklahoma. Was that anywhere near any of these sanctuary cities that are protecting these thugs?
I don't have any information on that. I would have to look that up. Apparently, it's a suburb of Oklahoma City. No, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Broken Arrow is where this happened.
I think Tulsa has quite a lot of mestizos and non-whites there, if I remember rightly. Back when I used to do the race war reports at the Daily Stormer, Tulsa would crop up quite a lot in the stories that we would get there of the black and white crime and the non-white upon white crime. But at least he managed to get three of them anyway. And I noticed in this other link that you sent me yesterday about Jeff Sessions, who is saying that he's going to punish the sanctuary cities. He's going to withhold the funding from them if they refuse to hand over these criminals to the immigration department when they leave prison. Now, this is my understanding of it. That's what these sanctuary cities are. when a non-white or an illegal immigrant commits a crime, they lock them up in prison, but they won't deport them. They're refusing to deport them. Is that correct, Doc?
Well, yeah. So what a sanctuary city policy is so the municipality, the city government, orders their police department to cease cooperating with federal authorities, specifically Immigration and Customs Enforcement, in regards to reporting suspected illegals, or even known illegals, known illegal felons who the federal border enforcement agencies have what's called detainers on, right? So if you're in a sanctuary city, the police won't cooperate with the federal authorities to turn you over, even if you're known to be here legally, like a visa overstay or have previously been ordered to leave at an immigration court. And so this is a really interesting development, in that it's sort of weaponizing the federal takeover of local police departments, departments that was pushed by the Obama administration. So many local police departments are utterly dependent now upon federal funding. Because once federal money started coming in, the cities said, okay, we don't have to pay for that anymore. Now we can start spending money elsewhere. So if Sessions cuts this off, there's going to be some police departments that are in big trouble.
Well, they should be working with the federal agencies anyway. If they've got criminals, wanted criminals, and they're known criminals, and they've sent out documents and information saying we're looking for this known criminal, I just don't understand how they could then say, well, we're not going to hand him over to you. We're going to protect this criminal. I was just looking at some of the what was actually in the article, and it had some people from these sanctuary cities, and they were saying, "Oh, these sanctuary cities, we don't actually have that much crime here. We have a low crime rate." And I was thinking, well, if they don't actually hand the criminals over to the correct authorities, of course they're going to have a low crime rate. They probably don't investigate any of the crimes that go on. If that's their way of looking at it, that they're just going to protect these people. Is this because there are so many non-whites in the sanctuary cities that they're pretty much running things, and they can just refuse to go along with the government? Or is this liberal-minded idiot whites that are going along with this?
To a certain degree, the answer is yes to both of those. So what you have is you have the wealth, the uber wealthy gentry whites who are like the young urban professionals, dual income, no kids, just brain dead liberals who support liberal policies no matter what happens. They don't care. They live in their gated communities. You also have the sort of the welfare slums in these same cities where the mestizos congregate, and they are reliable voting blocks for the Democratic Party. And so there's no interest in these deep blue controlled cities in enforcing any of these laws. It's well known that basically if you're a legal mestizo, you're almost untouchable by police as far as regular misdemeanors go, because you have fake ID and you don't have a permanent address. There's no way to serve court documents to you, right? They drive under the influence all the time, and they can basically never be held accountable for it.
So it's like a license to commit crime, then, being an illegal immigrant, if you're around any of these sanctuary cities. And I should imagine the Democratic Party are very proud to have all these mestizos representing them. We know how dedicated to diversity all these political parties are. They're always so proud that they've got a Negro leading them, or a mestizo leading them. I mean, just recently we've had the Feminist Party of Sweden have just announced their new leader. They've got a Negress leading them called Victoria Kuiza, and they're really proud of this. They're proud of the fact that they haven't got a Swedish woman to lead them. They've put this low IQ Negro up front, which really doesn't say much for Swedish women if the best they can find is a Negro. And this Negress, I mean, she's really doesn't know how to think very logically. She's talked about not wanting to see blacks deported, not wanting to see illegal immigrants deported, and her excuse for why Sweden shouldn't be deporting foreigners is because Sweden doesn't deport their own white Swedes. Sweden doesn't deport their own white Swedes to get caught committing crimes, so why should they be deporting Negroes back to Africa when Negroes come there and gang rape the Swedes? That's her logic. And this feminist party, they have about 3% of the vote, and they only need 4% to actually get into government. She also wants open borders. She wants Sweden to be completely thrown open to the rest of the world. She says that the Swedish society is racist and sexist and oppressive towards her, and she fears for her children's safety. This Sweden is the most welcoming, most generous country in the entire world. And this just goes to show that. They've even made this ungrateful Negress the leader of their feminist party, and yet she is still attacking the country and saying that it's racist and it's sexist. She came there as a refugee in the 70s, I believe, and this country took her in, gave her a roof over her head, fed her, educated her in all these nonsense feminist studies, and has now made her the leader of the feminist party, and all she's doing is attacking the country. She is of such low intelligence that she thinks it's logical to say, well, why aren't white Swedes deported when they commit crimes then? It's absolutely, well, it's Sweden, I guess, so we should expect things like this to go on. But America is the same, and the Democratic Party are the same. Just think, when Obama was voted into office, they were so proud to have a Negro leading the party, so proud to have the first Negro president, when really that's just an insult to the nation that does it, because we know that they have a lower average IQ than us, they have lower impulse control, and what it's really saying is that we haven't got a white man that's up to the job, so we put a Negro in there. And what this feminist party is saying, we haven't got a white woman that's up to the job, so we'll put this Negress in power. It's so insulting. What are your thoughts on this, Doc?
Well, I mean, it really is par for the course. All of these parties, these democratic political bourgeois machines, feel the need to signal how not racist they are, how unracist they are. We don't even see color, and to do so, of course, they will place all of the color at the head of their parties. It's just morally vapid. It's logically lazy. It is to me the epitome of bourgeois decadent laziness. They don't stand for anything. They're just like, please don't call me racist.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It really is. Like, how do these people live with themselves? I don't understand it. To a certain extent, we all have to grow out of that, because every one of us lives in the modern world, and we have these modern degenerate ideas shoved into our heads. And if we don't think about things deeply, it's all too easy to just parrot what we have been told. But reality doesn't match what they shove in our heads. And either you can continue to suffer this cognitive dissonance, or you can speak out and say, no, this is stupid. This doesn't work.
It's just funny the way that, as you say, though, what they're desperately trying to say is we don't think about race, we don't look at race, we don't discriminate on the grounds of race, and yet that is exactly what they've done here. They've discriminated against all the white Swedes so that they can put this Negress in power. That is discrimination. And yet their reason for doing so is to try and claim that they don't see race and they don't see colour. If they don't see race and they don't see colour, then there's far more of a chance of averages that it would have been a white person, no matter how many Negroes that they've actually got in that part of Sweden, wherever this feminist party is centred. And the party itself, the feminist party itself, is obviously anti-white, anti-male. And we've got another instance of this anti-male behaviour, which is what leads to men not actually standing up to this and not actually speaking about this and saying, look, this is a nonsense. How can you have a feminist party which is just there to look out for the interests of women? How can you that to have we're going to have a feminist party that's just going to look out for the interests of 50% of the population? That's like saying, well, we're going to have a black party that's just going to look out for the black percentage of the population. Well, why can't we have a white party then that looks out for the interests of the white part of the population? The logic follows that if you're allowed to have a feminist party, you should be allowed to have a white party that just looks out for the interests of whites. But they won't accept that. According to them, that's not logical. That's racist. So we're allowed to have a feminist party, and the only people that speak up about this and speak out against feminists are the alt-right and nationalists, when it should be every man, every Swedish man should be saying about this, that how wrong that is, for a start, to have a feminist party, and secondly, to have a Negro leading it. And one of the reasons, one of the things that is doing this to our men is this hatred of masculinity, saying that anything masculine is wrong and everything feminine is correct. And we've got this other article that you sent me yesterday, this University of Regina in America. Well, it would be called Regina, wouldn't it? But they have a masculinity confession booth. Men are supposed to go in there because it's supposed to be a sin to be male, you see. So they're supposed to go to this confession booth and confess about their masculinity and beat themselves over the head for how dreadful it is that they actually behave like men when they are men. And another part of this is this thing called Man Up Against Violence, which is supposed to be about this domestic abuse of women. And you'd never hear of domestic abuse against men, yet there is more domestic abuse against men than against women. And when the men go to the police and they report the fact that they've been a victim of domestic violence, 9 times out of 10, the man then gets arrested. And there are no facilities for men that have been attacked by women. And most of the time, people will just laugh about it. You've been beaten up by your woman. Ha ha. And yet they make this huge fuss about violence against women. And they set up this confession group, this confession booth, for men to go in there and say how terrible it is that they're a man. And then when they come out, they're hit with this, you're a man, you must be violent. So we're going to have to brainwash you into thinking that you are violent and that you must do everything that the woman says. And when men do everything that the woman says, the woman doesn't want it. The woman will never be satisfied. The woman wants to be told this is the way things are. They like to have a strict boundaries. The man should make the decisions. Men lead and women follow. And we've seen an example just last week of what putting women in leadership roles is like when we had this attack in London, the Muslim attack. There's been footage that's been released of Theresa May, Prime Minister of Britain. When this attack happened, she was like a headless chicken. She ran out of the Houses of Parliament. Okay, the police had told her that was where she had to go, but she didn't know where to go after that. She was running to the left, running to the right, literally like a headless chicken before being herded into a car. And that's leadership when you put women in charge. They think emotionally. She must have she's completely lost her cool, basically, in a situation where she needed to have a head about her. Whereas a man in that situation would have kept his cool. That's part of being a man. And yet this masculinity confessions booth is saying, oh, it's dreadful that men don't show their emotions. If they don't show their emotions, they're going to turn into wife beaters. No, men need to hold back on their emotions so that when a crisis occurs, they don't lose their head and start acting irrationally. Men need to keep a check on their emotions, because women will need the men to not be emotional when a crisis happens. Women will get hysterical and panic, and the man will keep his head. I guess that's part of Rudyard Kipling's poem about what it means to be a man. I think it says, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs. And that is an essential part of being a man. And this masculinity confessions booth is telling men that that's a sin to think like that. What are your views on this, Doc?
Well, that's a very important subject. I mean, the only thing worse than being white is being a white male. Because the left, because the Jewish system, the oligarchy, the system of Satan hates masculinity. And I think part of it is because, from a practical point of view, if anyone is going to stop them, it's going to be white men. And also, I think it's fundamentally spiritual in that, our Lord incarnated as a man, as a masculine man. I mean, he attacked the money changers in the temple with a braided whip. And, this is not the sort of hippie guru that the weak sauce leftist Christians want you to think he is. In order for our race to survive, men must return to being men. And if we get called racist or misogynist or bigots or any other bad word, well, that's just going to have to be how it is, because what it means to be a man is to do what's right, regardless of what other people will say.
Well, what it is to be a man,
short of it.
What it is to be a man is for when people call you nasty names, is it for it to be like water off a duck's back? It doesn't mean anything. It's just words. Doesn't matter what people call you. When I remember being at school and I was taught, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And now suddenly mean words seem to be the worst possible thing. We'll allow girls to get raped and won't investigate the crimes if it means that the person investigating crimes might be called a racist. And this is part of what it means to be a man, is not caring what people think of you, what names people call you. You have the courage and the backbone to stand up against that. Doesn't matter if people criticize you. If you know what you are doing is right, you continue to do it. I mean, that's part of the reason for this radio station, is to give people encouragement and to give people the strength to speak out about being a nationalist and to be virtuous people and know that there is a network of other people that think the same way. So when you've got people around you that are all liberal and they're all going to call you a racist, you have that inner strength to continue speaking the truth. That's part of the radio station, is that. And it is a masculine thing, and the alt-right is mainly masculine. And that's because we leadership is a male role. I think when they try to promote these feminist politicians, if you look at Britain at the moment, we've got a female leader of the Scottish National Party, we've got a female leader of the Conservative Party, we've got a female leader of Plaid Cymru, that's the Welsh Party, and we've got a female leader of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland. So all female leaders. That's, the rest of the world must be looking at Britain as a pushover at the moment. We've got this Brexit coming up, which is supposed to be initiated tomorrow, this Article 50. And yet all the leaders of our parties are all females. They're all women. How are they going to negotiate for the best deal for Britain? I mean, but the whole point of being a woman is that they are the weaker sex. I mean, men have got when we've got a third extra upper body strength, we are more innovative. There is nothing in history that was ever invented by women. Their knowledge in doing the things that men do is only in the last 50 years or so. And yet we're already putting them into these high-powered positions of leadership of a country and expecting them to do the same role as a man when they're not naturally fitted out to do the same role as a man. And I can't help but keep going back to this image of Theresa May running from left to right in a panic because there was a terrorist attack. Britain is in a right mess at the moment. I guess it's only secondary to what's happening in Sweden, really. But to have all the leaders of the main parties led by women, I mean, that's just shame on the British people, shame on the British political parties, because that's just saying you haven't got any men that are good enough as your women. And women don't do leadership naturally. Their natural role is looking after the man, so that the man doesn't have to worry about doing all the other things, so that he can get on and lead. Women aren't naturally supposed to do that. Women are teachers, they're homemakers, they bring the children up, and they're experts at doing that. And instead of doing what they're experts at and enjoying their lives and having fulfilling lives doing what they're good at, they're attempting to do what men can do better. What is the point of that? I just do not understand the mentality of women, and unless it is all just one giant shit test and they're just waiting for the men to stand up to it and say, no, we're not having it. We're not having this feminism. And to be honest, if you speak and act anti-feminist, women like it. They laugh. They won't get angry and call you names and call you anti-woman or anything like that. In my experience, they will like it because they haven't seen that for a long time. And women like men to be chivalrous. They don't want all this equality nonsense. They might say that, but that's because women never actually tell you what they really feel. And any man with a girlfriend will know that the girlfriend will never actually tell the man what they feel. And they always expect the man to be telepathic. It's all one giant shit test. That's my opinion of it anyway, Doc.
Oh, I absolutely agree. The female mind works in mysterious ways. And it's really, human history has been one long shit test after another. I mean, the fall of man was because Adam failed a shit test from Eve. I mean,
good point. It goes way back.
I was listening to an account of the aftermath of the recent attacks, the person I was listening to was saying that there was a British policewoman who had broken down and cried, and I guess this was caught on camera because of just the sheer horror of all this mass injury attack on this pedestrian bridge. And as much as we might say that, you know, she shouldn't have been there, she shouldn't have been in that role, my heart still goes out to her in sympathy, because no, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't have had to have seen that, but you did. And as you know, if this feminism is a shit test, then really the fault is on men for not having said, no, you can't do that.
And right. It is. It's on us. It's all on us. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
We will not begin to push back the tide until we start acting like men. And that's, it all comes back to that. And, I happen to believe that, that part of acting like a man is not only putting, your family life back in order, as far as taking a leadership role in your family, and it's not only providing for your family like a man, it's also taking the lead spiritually. So, there was a study done that showed that, in families where, the mother sort of takes the lead in spiritual matters, that the children are way more likely to fall away from the faith than if the father takes the lead and leads prayers and teaches the importance of going to church. In families where the father takes the spiritual lead, the children are way more likely. And unfortunately, I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but I've seen the study, and it's convincing to me.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, this is why this feminism thing works, is because girls want to be like the men. So if the man is leading, the man's leading the spiritual thing, then the children are going to be more likely to follow it, because it's the male that's doing that, rather than if it's the female that's doing that. And the success of feminism shows that both sexes will try to emulate the male and try to emulate the man, because the man is the natural leader. Anyway, we're coming near to the end of the podcast now, and I would like to just bring up a piece of good news just before we finish. And we've had a celebrity come out and speak up for Brexit and Nigel Farage and Donald Trump. And it's quite a surprising celebrity as well. It's Johnny Rotten, John Lydon from the Sex Pistols. He was on BBC Today, or might have actually been ITV, Good Morning, one of these early morning TV shows. And they asked him about all of this, obviously expecting him to carry on with the usual celebrity line. And he said that since he's working class, he supports the working class, and he loves to see the way that Donald Trump is shocking everyone and shocking the media, and he supports him, and he supports Nigel Farage, and thought Farage did really well standing up for Brexit, and also standing up to Bob Geldof, who was flicking two fingers at him over the Thames when they had this flotilla just before the Brexit. So that was just very good news. I'm not too impressed with Johnny Rotten himself, but the fact that he's come out and endorsed Trump and Nigel Farage, that's very good indeed. And hopefully we'll see more celebrities coming out and speaking up for patriotism and nationalism, even if it is only civic nationalism. Doc Savage, thank you very, very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Florian Geyer for more Daily Traditionalist. So until then, have a great day and hail victory.
You've been tuned into the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.